Read the Word of God. 1 John chapter number 5. We'll do things a little bit different this morning. We're going to go through the Bible a little bit, and I'll explain that here in just a moment. Some things I want you to see, but we're going to start here. 1 John chapter number 5. I want you to read with me verse number 12. The Bible says this: He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Pretty simple, isn't it? You either got him or you don't. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. John is writing to Christians. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe, or in other words, you can continue to believe on the name of the Son of God. Lord, we love you today. We're so thankful, God, that we have a rock, Lord, that we can anchor to. Lord, this world wants us to throw an anchor out on anything and everything, but Lord, I've understood to realize, according to my Bible, God, that you are the rock of our salvation, Lord, and you are the only thing, God, that we can anchor to that will truly hold. Lord, I ask, God, that you just help us. Lord, we need your help this morning. God, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in this place. Lord, I ask, God, that you'd help me. Lord, I'm not up here, Lord, to give a motivational speech to, Lord, to try to change people's minds about something. But Lord, I'm here, God, to preach what thus saith the Lord. God, I ask, Lord, that you just help me. Lord, give me what I need. And Lord, that in turn, Lord, you'd give the dear people what they need. Lord, I ask, God, that if there's anything inside of me that would grieve the Holy Spirit of God, that you'd have mercy on me. Lord, and please forgive me. Lord, I ask, God, that we'll just take the truths of the Word of God. Lord, help us to focus our mind, to attend our heart to the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, that we can walk away from this place convicted, challenged, and changed. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to draw your attention this morning to a word that we find. If you draw in your Bible, if you mark things, if you indicate things, there's a word in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. It's the word know. It's the word know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. I want to be real with you this morning, church. I want to ask you a question. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to be concerned about your husband, your spouse, your children. But I want you to ask yourself this question. Have you ever doubted that God saved you? Have you ever doubted your salvation? Have you ever done something that you'd think in your mind that, man, a Christian would not do what I just did? A Sunday school teacher, a preacher would not have done what I just did. There's no way that I'm really saved. I can't be saved. Have you had that thought ever come across your mind? I don't know about you, but it's come across my mind. I'm not going to stand up here this morning and pretend to be something that I'm not. Preachers have struggles. Preachers sin. Preachers have doubts. Preachers are attacked by Satan just like the people of God are. And I have found that the majority of people, since the time that they've been saved, at one point, if not many times, it's come across in their head that they've doubted their salvation. I did a Barna research. If you ever know Barna, they do Christian research, Christian studies. They said just over one quarter, 26% of people say that they still experience, or they're currently right now doubting their salvation. While one in four, 40% say they've experienced in the past, but they've worked through it. Only about one third, 35%, to claim that they've never doubted their salvation at all. 65% of all born-again believers currently or have at one point in their life doubted their salvation. 65%. I would dare say that the number is probably 99, if not 100. But for the sake of the... we'll stick to the professionals who do the statistics. There are times that I've doubted my salvation. There are times that I've wondered, would a Christian really do that? But did you know the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, actually doubted his salvation? Look at what he said. I want to quote to you. He said, "I must confess here with sorrow that I have seasons of despondency and depression of spirit, which I trust none of you are called to suffer. And at such times I have doubted. I have doubted my interest in Christ, my calling, my salvation, my perseverance, my Savior's blood. And I have doubted at times my Father's love." Did you know, church, that the devil wants you to doubt your salvation? The devil wants to influence you this morning and discourage you and to keep you down. And the devil wants to get inside your head and say that if you was really a child of God, you would have never said that. If you was really saved, you would have never thought that. If you was really saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you would have never went there. That's what the devil wants this morning. Because if he can keep you, or if he can make you doubt your salvation, he can keep you down here. And he can keep you living a defeated life. The devil does not want us to live a victorious life this morning. But we have the ability to live a victorious life. We go back to Genesis chapter number 3, verse 16, I believe it is. You know, that's the very first thing that Satan did to Eve. He got her to doubt. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He doubts her. Did God really say that? Did God really say that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? If the devil, listen to me this morning, the devil wants you to doubt. He wants you to live in a season of doubt, in a spirit of doubt. Oh, that I wouldn't do that. Oh, if I was really saved, I wouldn't do that. He wants you to do that. He wants you to live in defeat. Can I ask you this morning, do you doubt God's love for you? It's all right, church. It's okay if you've been there. Don't think that you're some unspiritual person if this is never... Listen, it's all right. It happens. Do you doubt the security of your salvation? Listen, sometimes it's hard to fathom in our little finite minds that the God of heaven would save us. This word "no" in your King James Bible, 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 13... "That ye may know." See, there's two words, Greek words in God's Word, and I'm not trying to be up here to be intellectual, but I want you to understand something. There's two words in the Bible for "know." There's one called gnosko. It means to learn by understanding. For instance, if me and Brother Jeff, we're getting to know each other. That's the word gnosko. We're learning more as time goes on about each other. But that's not the word that John uses here. He uses the Greek word "adu," and that literally means to know by facts. To know by facts. I want to encourage you this morning, your salvation is not based on feelings, but it's based on facts. And he says, "These things I have written to you." What things? Now, we know that 1 John gives us a lot of evidence that God loves us, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, through His Word, has given us plenty of things. He's given us plenty of facts. So this morning, I want to look at some facts in God's Word, and I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, a secured salvation. A secured salvation. I'll take your Bible this morning, turn to the book of Acts chapter number 20. We're going to look at a couple verses. Please turn quickly. We're not going to stay here long. Normally, I don't do this type of preaching, but I thought the Lord laid it on our heart. Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20 this morning. Some of you men, I'm going to call on you to read some of these passages if you don't mind. Acts chapter number 20. Brother Jason Bard, if you will, I want you to stand up and read Acts 20, verse number 28, and read it loudly so everybody can hear, please. Acts 20, verse 28. Thank you, Brother Jason. I want you to look at the last five words. Purchased with His own blood. Number one, the reason I have a secured salvation is because I've been purchased. Because I've been purchased. The word purchase means to be bought. It means that at some point in time, if you have been saved, there was a transaction made on your behalf. I think about what Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That word redemption means a releasing effect by the payment of ransom. It means the word a releasing effect by the payment of ransom. In other words, there has been a purchase, there's been a price paid on our behalf. Because we have sinned, we were placed into the slave market of sin. You say, preacher, I don't really like what you're saying. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. Must I remind you, by the way, we all need this reminder that we're all sinners. Ain't nobody in here better than nobody, starting with me. We're all sinners. You say, preacher, prove it to me. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Please don't be deceived into the thinking that you have not sinned. Because you have. We're all sinners. We were placed into the slave market of sin. When my good works could not buy me out. When my offering that I put in the offering plate could not buy me out. When my church attendance could not buy me out. When my good words of edification could not buy me out. When I quit cussing, that did not buy me out. When I quit drinking, that did not buy me out. When I quit dipping, that did not buy me out. When I quit doing all these bad things, that's not what bought me out. But listen, Jesus Christ left the portals of glory on our behalf, and He came to the slave market of sin where I was and where you were. And when the price demanded death, there was a payment that was made on my behalf, and it was paid on your behalf. And because we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, we have a secured salvation. There was a purchase that was made. Why could these things not buy me out? Why could my good works, why could these things not be by the ransom? The reason is because the price that had to be met, the ransom, was death. Romans 6:23, for the wages, the price of sin is death. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. But 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, you were bought with a price. When I was hopeless, helpless, and on my way to a devil's hell, with no way out. Church, we didn't have a way to get out. There's nothing, there ain't a preacher good enough that could have preached you out. Listen, there ain't a priest good enough. You could have sat in the box all day long and confessed all you wanted to confess. That still ain't going to get you out on your way to hell. But because there was a purchase, it took an outside circumstance to buy me out of the slave market. He left the portals of glory. He made His way to the slave market where we were. The price tag for me and the price tag for you was death. Had to be a sinless sacrifice that had to die on our behalf. You think about it. Will you just think with me, church? Just think with me. When we were in the slave market, in the pits of sin, Jesus come. We couldn't go to Him, but He came to where we were. What was the price? A sinless sacrifice. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Think with me. When you was in the slave market, Jesus came to where you were and He said, you're my friend. You're my friend. Not when we come to church and we look all good and pretty for everybody. No, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He looked at us in the slave market of sin. He said, you're my friend. So He laid down His life. The God of heaven came to this, we learned about in our Sunday school class, Philippians, that He came to this wicked world, lived a sinless life and laid down his life for me and you and bought us. Listen, when it came to the slave market, he was met with these words, because he loved us. Listen, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, that the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all. Because he called us friend, because he loved us, he paid the ransom. 1 Peter 2:24, who is in his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, listen, this verse don't get old to me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but, how many are thankful for the buts in the Bible, but is the gift of God, amen. I'm thankful. I've been purchased. When the devil comes around and reminds you that you shouldn't be, listen, you remind him that you've been bought. You remind him you've been purchased. You know, the neat thing about this purchase, there ain't no refunds. There's no 30-day money-back guarantees. There's no Benedict Arnolds in here. Okay, there's no switcheroos, no exchanges. All sales have been final. When Jesus stretched forth his arm on the cross and said, "Tetelestai," which is to be interpreted, "It is finished." We've been purchased. I remember when I was a teenager, bought this, my family who know what I'm talking about, bought this ugly old Mustang. And bought this thing. It wasn't nothing. Trust me, when you think of Mustang, you know, you think of a nice car. Listen, there was nothing nice about this thing. In fact, I went and I purchased it and I began to drive it down the mountain from the guy, and my dashboard caught on fire. I had to roll down my windows to let the smoke out so I could see where I was going. Amen. In other words, I kind of got the raw end of the deal. But how many of you know we didn't get the raw end of the deal? He got the raw end of the deal. We got the good, we got the best end of the deal. Somebody, a commentator said this, if you are really saved, brethren, not a hair on your head belongs to you. Christ's blood has either bought you or it has not. And if it has, then you are altogether Christ. Every bit of you, you are neither to eat, drink, nor sleep, but for Christ. I'm thankful I have a secured salvation because I have been purchased. I want you to take your Bible this morning. Turn to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. How many of you glad you've been purchased? You've been bought. God ain't, listen, Jesus ain't going to bring you back. It is finished. We've been purchased. Colossians chapter number 2. Brother Shane, when you find your place, Colossians chapter number 2, I want you to read verses 13 and 14. If you'll stand and read it clearly, please.
And you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, have you quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross.
I have a secured salvation because I've been purchased, but I have a secured salvation because I have been pardoned. I want you to look at what he just read. There's the middle, towards the end of verse number 13, having forgiven you all trespasses. All. I have that word all circled in my Bible. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was... Do you realize that there are some ordinances that are against you? The devil right now, the accuser of the brethren, he's reading these ordinances that are against you. It's your past sins, your current sins, and the future. Listen, they're going... He's the accuser of the brethren, and he's bringing up all these things that we've done. But when he brings them up, what happened to them? Look at the last verse of 14, the last phrase. It was nailed to the cross. Jesus, the accuser of the brethren, Jesus, I took care of it on Calvary. I took care of their sin on the cross. It's nailed. We've been pardoned this morning. Can I ask you something? What makes us think that there's a sin that was not covered by the blood of Jesus? I may make some of you mad. That's all right. There's a movement that come out of the Pentecostal holiness that if you committed suicide, you go to hell. Can I just tell you this? That's a lie from hell. That's a lie. Their belief is this, that, well, they believe that before you die, you have to have confessed all your sin. So they believe that suicide, which is the killing of oneself, thou shalt not kill. If a person commits suicide, they didn't have time to confess their sin. Therefore, they end up in hell. Can I ask you something? If you sin, if you got sin in your life, there's times that we have unconfessed sin. I'm thankful, Lord, we have 1 John 1:9. We can take care of it, amen. But if you pulled out on 52 and was hit by a tractor trailer, do you think that you're going to start confessing, have time to confess all your sin before the Lord? No. But listen, our confession is not based on, is not a basis for our salvation. Our confession is basis for fellowship. Our confession is the basis for fellowship. Listen, me and my dad, we may not get along. Well, I may make him mad, but he's still my father. That relation, that position never changes. And I'm thankful that we don't have to walk around a nervous wreck thinking I'm going to die with unconfessed sin in my life and I may go to hell. That's why we, listen, by the way, if something happened to you and you got killed, not only you ain't going to have time to confess all your sin, but you don't even, sometimes we don't even know all the sin we've committed. That's why he said if we confess our sin, the sin that we know, we have to know about it in order to confess it. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all. We confess what we know. He takes care of the rest. But listen, the reason I have a secured salvation, I've been purchased, but I've been pardoned. Listen, those accusations that we've done and the devil brings up, Jesus said, I've nailed them to the cross. They're on the cross of Calvary. There's not a sin, including suicide, that is not covered by the blood of Jesus. Must I remind you what happened to Samson? He committed suicide. He pulled the pillars in. You don't believe me? Go look, study for yourself. You mean tell me that Samson's in hell? Some of you ain't liking this. I'm going to move forward. If our sin causes us to lose salvation, then we are saying the sacrifice or payment of Jesus Christ was not sufficient. If I can sin my way out of salvation, then what he did on Calvary was not sufficient. But I'm thankful that Romans 6:10 says this, for in that he died unto sin once. Jesus don't have to come back to Calvary, get back on the cross every time we sin. No, he did it to once and it was finished. It was sufficient. I have a secured salvation because I've been purchased and I've been pardoned. 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. And not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. Romans 4:7, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. You know, this verse in Colossians talks about the canceling out the certificate of debt consisting of legal demands which were enforced against us. This certificate he has set aside and completely removed by nailing it to the cross. In other words, every sin that you've done, every sin that you're doing, and every sin that you will do has been covered by the cross, by Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. In fact, our Lord did such a good job, Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The prophet Micah said, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You know what? We haven't even discovered the deepest part of the ocean yet. We don't even know how far the Lord has cast our sin. We've been pardoned. How many thankful this morning? You've got a secure salvation. Because you've been purchased by the blood. You've been, listen, we went to the slave market and brought us out. But not only he brought us out, listen, he just didn't leave us in our sinful state. No, he took care of it. And now we can come boldly to the throne of grace because we've been pardoned. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose some of their guilty stains. All of their guilty. They're all gone. We've been pardoned this morning. I don't think y'all feel it the way I'm feeling it this morning. We've been pardoned this morning. We've been forgiven. Listen, when the devil reminds you of all your defeat and all your wickedness, listen, you look him square in the eye and say, I've been purchased and I've been pardoned, and because of that, I got a new step in my soul and I can come to the Father this morning. We've been pardoned. Can I read you another hymn? I love the hymns. There was a time when in the book of heaven, the old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name, what'd Paul say? I'm the chiefest. My name was at the top and many things below. But I went unto the keeper and settled long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear. It's nailed to the cross. For he washed my sins away. The old account was settled long ago. We've been pardoned. We've been pardoned. I'm thankful today. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. We don't got to live in defeat. We don't got to live biting our nails. We've been purchased. We've been pardoned. I want you to take your Bible quickly. I'm almost done. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Brother David Miller, if I want you, when you find your place, turn to Romans 8. Brother Henson, if you will, I want you to, instead of going to Romans 8, go to Ephesians chapter number 4, if you don't mind. Ephesians 4. Brother David, Romans chapter number 8. Brother Henson, Ephesians 4. Brother David, when you find your place, I want you to read verse 38 and 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39. That don't do something for you. I don't know what that. I believe he did a good job of covering everything. All right, Brother Henson, if y'all want to turn here, you can. Ephesians 4, I want you to read verse number 30. Ephesians 4, verse number 30. While he's reading, y'all turn there. We won't park there just for a second.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption.
Thank you. For I'm persuaded, Paul says, all these things cannot separate me. That's what he told the Romans. Then he told the Ephesian church, ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I've got a secure salvation because I've been purchased. I've got a secure salvation because I've been pardoned. But I have a secure salvation this morning because I am protected. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature shall separate us from the love of God. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. Some of y'all know when you have a garden, how many of y'all ever can stuff? And nobody cans, you know what I'm talking about? You know, you can can fruit and vegetables. Maybe, you know, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, you put this stuff in the can, right? And the amazing thing is that it can, has a long shelf life. It can get dust on it. But because that seal, y'all know what I'm talking about, some of the old timers know what I'm talking about, it's protected. That seal, y'all ever get something, you buy something in the store and it says sealed for your protection? When you get that water, that Y'all call it pop or soda? What do y'all call it?
Soda.
You hear that? When it breaks, you're breaking that seal. Tells me that ain't nobody else had access to that. It's been sealed. I don't want to worry about somebody tampering with it. That Ephesians 4, if you really look at the context of that sealing was when the Old Testament economy, when the king wanted to send a letter. You'll learn about it if you look at the book of Nehemiah. When the king would send the letter, they would put wax on that letter. And they would put their seal, their ring, into that seal. That seal, that impression, that sealed that letter did one of two things. It was for identification, and it was for protection. Identification and protection. In other words, that king would put his ring seal, and he would give it to the messenger. That stamp or that seal of his ring would let everybody know who that letter belonged to. Y'all follow me? The day you got saved, there was a seal placed on your life. When the devil himself was fighting for your soul, you were branded. You were sealed. The day you got, you were sealed unto the day of redemption. In other words, that seal lets the devil know when he was trying to fight. How many of you remember when you got saved? Oh, you such under conviction. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, it's like I literally felt the principalities fighting for my soul. But I felt the Spirit of God over on this side, and it's almost like there was a war. But the moment I got saved, there was a seal that was placed on my soul that told the devil, hey, he belongs to me. He looks like the letter belonged to the king. Listen now, because we've been sealed, we belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But not only for identification, the seal was for protection. If that letter arrived at its destination and the seal was broken, it had been tampered with. So that seal was there for protection. Did you know because you're saved, there's nothing the devil can do to get you to go to hell? He'll set snares. He'll fight. That's why we're told to put on the whole armor of God. He'll set traps and snare, try to trip you up, but your soul has been sealed and protected. It's off limits to the devil. He said, you're sealed. I'll throw this in here for a little bonus addition. That seal, we're like the letter. You say, preacher, how are we like the letter? That letter, just like the seal on that letter, the seal's been placed on our life. For we belong to the king, and our soul has been protected. But how many of you know that that letter didn't intend just to sit in a mailbox? Now, it's going somewhere. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. That letter has got a place that it's headed to. In other words, that letter wasn't just supposed to sit there. It had to make its way to the desk. How many of you agree? I don't care how bad this world gets. I don't care how rough things. Listen, we're just pilgrims passing through. We ain't staying here. Don't dig your roots down too deep this morning, because we've got an estimated arrival. I don't know when it is. It could happen today. But all I know is we are sealed into the day of redemption. What is the redemption? When God the Father looks at the Son and says, step out on the clouds. Hey, go get your bride. It's time to go. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed. Listen, we've got a place to go this morning. We're sealed into the day of redemption. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave me them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Church, when you think that you've lost, listen, you're protected. You are placed in the hand of God the Son, and then the Father is wrapped around Him. Listen, there ain't, He says, no man's going to pluck you out of my hand. We've been purchased. We've been pardoned. We've been protected. Revelation 21, if you will. Revelation 21. I hope this is helping somebody this morning. Revelation 21. Everybody there say amen. Revelation 21, I want you to look at verse 27. And there shall in no wise or in no way enter into anything that is that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. So how do we get there? But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have a secured salvation this morning because I've been purchased, because I've been pardoned, because I've been protected, and because I've been published in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've been published. The day you called upon the name of the Lord, your name was published in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 3 says, He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. It will never be erased. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. In other words, we're already considered there. It's a done deal. There's nothing we can or cannot do that will remove us from the heavenlies, that will remove us out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Do we really think that every time we sin, Jesus up there, the big old eraser, and every time we confess, 1 John 1:9, which is written to believers, not lost people, well, they got things right. Oh, nope, got to erase them. It's foolish thinking, church. There ain't an eraser big enough for this preacher. Listen, as many times as I've messed up, there ain't an eraser big enough. But he does not. He don't keep erasing and keep writing. No, it's been published there to stay. And nothing that I can or cannot do will remove me from the Lamb's Book of Life. I think about the song, My Name Once Stood with Sinners Lost, and bore a painful record, but by His blood the Savior crossed and placed it on His roll. While others climbed through worldly strife to carve a name of honor, high up in heaven's book of life, My name is written there. I've got a secure salvation because I've been purchased, I've been pardoned, I've been protected, and I've been published in the Lamb's Book of Life. Read a quote from Watchman Nee. He said this. He tells about a new convert who came. He was so sad. He was distressed. He told Watchman Nee, he said, No matter how much I pray, no matter how hard I try, I simply cannot be faithful to my Lord. I think that I feel like I'm losing my salvation. Nee said, Do you see this dog here? He is my dog. He's house trained. He never makes a mess. He's obedient. Be quite honest, he's a pure delight for me. Out in the kitchen, I have a son, little baby boy. He makes a mess. He throws his food around. Y'all who've had children, you know what I'm talking about. He fouls his clothes. My son is a total mess. But who is going to inherit my kingdom? Not my dog. He said, My son is my heir. You are Jesus Christ's heir because it is for you that He died. We are Christ's heir, not through our perfection, but by His grace. Amen. Lastly, I want you to turn to Psalms 95. Psalms 95. Psalms 95, let's read. The Bible says this, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will, hear his voice. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. I want you to look at verse number 1 again. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The rock of our salvation. The title of my message this morning is A Secured Salvation. Because I am purchased, because I am pardoned, because we're protected, and because we've been published in the Lamb's Book of Life, we can praise. Miss Lisa, you come help me on the piano. Me and my family went camping a couple weeks ago, and we all got in the pool. And this was the pool that, you know, it's, y'all know what I'm talking about. It starts at like 3 feet. By the time you get to the other side, it goes down to like 8 feet. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And we were all in there swimming, me and Kirsten, the kids, and all of us. Well, my kids don't know how to swim all the way yet, so they're not allowed on the deep end. Well, Austin, bless his heart, he goes over to the deep end. And for a moment, you know, y'all, we ain't perfect parents by any means. I took my eyes off my son. My other two were over here, and there's a lot of commotion. And I look over, and Austin's in the deep end, and I see the distress on his face because he went over there, and he couldn't touch. He don't know how to swim, and he's going under. And he was distressed, and he said, help! How do you remember that? Help! And luckily, he was able to get onto the side where he could hold on. And I went over there. I said, Austin, if you want to go to the deep end, that's fine, but you got to let me go with you. I said, so here's what, you hold on my back. And so for the next 30 minutes, Austin was on my back, and I'm able to swim, so we were just treading around the deep water. How many of you know when you feel like you're going down, when you feel like we've lost our salvation, when we feel filthy, and we feel messed up, and we feel distressed. My salvation ain't based on my own efforts, because we'll go down. But we got facts. And we feel the God of heaven say, honey, just hold on. I'll take you in the deep water, but you got to hold on to me. Austin didn't have to do anything. He was enjoying the ride. Ain't nothing we can do. Salvation ain't based on us, church. It's based... The question is, are you holding on to him? Because if you ain't, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? There ain't a good work good enough to get you into heaven. He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. When we stand before God Almighty, our only thing that can help us, he already took care of it. My name's already there. But because he is the Lord of our salvation, can I ask you something, church? When's the last time that you just praised God for saving your wretched, wicked soul? Not asking for anything. Not bringing prayer requests. Do you know that if you was the only sinner to walk the face of the earth, he still would have come for you? David said, I can praise him because he's the rock of my salvation. We got something to praise him for, church. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes.